again this morning. Let me pray over us today. Would you bow with me? Father, that scene we just sang about in your heaven, to see those exalted beings, the cherubim and the seraphim. We don't really have a clue who they are or their glory. But Lord, they're falling down before you. And Father, I got a little homesick for that place. Though I'm yet to be there, it's so attractive. All of the stress and all the issues of this life, gone. And all that matters is you who sits on the throne. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Until you do, Father, we have those this morning who suffer. We have so many that suffer because of rejection. Oh, what a horrible thing that is. And so the many, Father, who suffer in that way today, would you come and be that friend that sticks closer than a brother or a sister or a spouse or a child? Come close, come near. I pray for Vicki this morning, Father, as she anticipates that procedure this week. Her body's racked with pain. And Father, we pray for grace and mercy in her life. Pray for Doug, Lord, that you will minister to him today. Pray for Uriah, Lord, that time that is coming here in a week or two. You, the great physician, can do that which the most sophisticated minds and doctors of this world cannot even touch. Bring healing to his body. Pray for his dad, Father, in this hip that's coming up here in a month or two. Lord, pray for Chuck. Oh, Lord, the list just runs on in my mind. Physical issues, emotional issues. And then, Father, we would especially pray for those who come this morning to see. They know there's a hole in their life. They know that there is something that all the things they've tried has not been able to fill. And they've come thinking, well, it might be over there, that metal building in the back of that field. It is. Meet that need in those lives this morning, I pray, that they would hear the gospel. They would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you. God of mercy, God of grace. In Jesus' name. Turn over to John chapter 8 this morning. I was telling Andy, he always is good to put some things up there to help, and visual aids are always good. And I said to him, Andy, there are no points. There's actually a bunch, but, you know, there's not 3 points. And I said, in fact, there's not really a title. I'm on the 4th title, and I'm not sure that's the right one. Okay, I guess it's kind of like grocery shopping. Okay, when Joanna was down with her knee deal this last year, she got home from the hospital, and you know she couldn't even hardly get up by herself, let alone do the grocery shopping. So I got to be the grocery shopper, okay? I believe in entertaining angels unaware, okay? although one of them, I happen to know her name, and Tracy was there one day, and I can't find anything, okay? And she saw my miserable plight, and she came close and directed my paths, and so I believe in angels. But it's kind of like grocery shopping. This morning, we're going to run up and down a bunch of aisles, and if there's something here that touches your life, the Holy Spirit touches it, take it home with you, okay? You may not eat everything today, but there will be some things I am safe in saying will touch every person here if you have ears to hear. So let's read this morning. I do have the last revised title. My hope is built on blank. My hope is built on blank. And I'm going to ask you to fill in that blank at the end. All right? And we really won't get down to that in that form until then. So let's read in John 8, begin reading in verse 48. The Jews answered him, Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died." Abraham is Father Abraham, the one that the covenant that they live under came to first. We know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death." Are you greater than Father Abraham, who died, and the prophets, who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Or do they would say, "Who do you think you are?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of you, whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you don't know Him. You haven't known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you." Between the eyes. "But I do know Him and keep His word." And Dwayne, next week we're going to spend on verse 56, okay? All right. Kind of set the stage for this. There's kind of a fight going on here, wouldn't you say? An argument, a debate. You ever had one of those? A disagreement? Don't shake your head this way, okay? All right? Truth is, people disagree. We see things differently. We have different positions on virtually every matter. Republicans, Democrats, what's right, what's wrong, car preferences, diets, clothes, activities, every issue. We could line up groups here today, and then they're almost an infinite list. What we like, we do. And it's a complex issue how we got to that position. Now this has some purpose, so hang on, okay? It may be based on your environment, okay? Where you live. We don't see the things the same as the folks in New York City or San Francisco or wherever, okay? We're Ozarkians, you know? We're right, you know? The other folks are wrong. They call us flyover people, all right? We're the people they fly over going from one coast to the other. Environment makes a difference. We're finding out more and more that genetics make a huge difference. A whole lot of things are linked to genetics now, okay? Even the way that we believe and things like that influences. How we were raised, That's a point of contention today. Growing kids God's way that these folks are going to be leading out in. I'm guessing that there would be some dissension, Andy. Okay, that would say that you can't do that. I had a guy tell me the other day he was having some problems with his son, and I just tried to share with him how you raise boys, and he said, "Oh, you can't do that today." Okay, so there's a difference there. What we've read, what we study, we go on, and all of that in a very complex fashion comes together where we would be on any particular issue or situation. Here's the truth. In any disagreement that you run into, and unless you live in a hole, you're going to run into these differences, both sides of an issue cannot be correct. Okay? One could be correct. Both may be wrong. Now, next time you get into a debate, a discussion, or whatever with somebody, remember those three points. Either we're both wrong, one of us is correct, but if we are at opposite ends, we both can't be correct. And that emotion gets in there. Now, something influencing this is something called egocentricity. This is where a person believes, I am the center of the universe. Okay? That really exists. You see it in kids, kind of from the time they come home from the hospital until about maybe age 5 or 6. I mean, they talk that way. Me, they always put themselves first. Me want, all that kind of thing. And if you get in their way, they have to learn that they aren't the center of the universe. And by God's grace, that tends to leave at about age 6, and they are much more compatible with people, and they will share and all those kind of things. But then it returns during the adolescent years. It's called adolescent egocentricity. Again, I am the center of the universe. And some of you folks with teenagers right now are saying, yeah, okay? But that egocentricity, if it comes back in the adult years, we call that narcissism. And folks, there's an epidemic of this in our land today. This is going somewhere. All of us struggle with denying self. Even the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Even the Apostle Paul, I die daily. And the truth of the matter is, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you have to walk in denying self and dying to self and following Jesus. There cannot be any egocentricity or narcissism in a disciple of Jesus. In our passage today, we have a debate raging. We're actually popping down right in the middle of it. We've been in this for a couple of weeks now. And the debate, the discussion, the battle is between Jesus and the Jews. But remember, the Jews who had believed in Him. Remember? That's the context. This isn't just some rank and file Jews off the street. These are some Jews who had believed in Him. But He told them, you don't abide in My words. And if you're going to truly be My disciple, you have to not only believe in Me, but you have to abide in My words. And this is the group that this debate, this battle is raging. And basically it has to deal with this. Who are you and who is your Father? That's what we can crunch down, and that's the central point here. The Jews are holding that they are descendants of Abraham. We are covenant people. And they were, physically. Jesus is going to say next week, you're really not the sons of Abraham, and we'll get to that at that time. But they're holding to their status as sons of Abraham, and they've become very elite in this. Very elite in this. I'm a big deal, is their mentality. And I'm a big deal because I'm a Jew, a descendant of Abraham. Jesus, on the other hand, is proclaiming, I am from God. I am from God, who is My Father. Those are the two opposite points. Both cannot be correct. One may be correct. Both could be wrong. That's what we're going to investigate this morning. So who's telling the truth? What I want us to do, and this is where you get your grocery cart out and start shopping, okay? We're going to run through quickly six, seven points that are brought up in this debate between Jesus and the Jews, and maybe you'll find something you want to take home with you. The Jews based their position, they're right, and they're right, okay? We're descendants of Abraham. We can't be wrong, we're right. And they based their position on tradition, what they have heard, and their heritage. Now, our title this morning is My Hope is Built On. Is that what your hope is built on this morning? If you're in tune with me at all, some are going to have to say, I think so. Is your position of what is right and who you are based on tradition, what you have heard and heritage? Some of you are sitting here this morning and say, well, my dad was a Baptist preacher. Or when I was growing up, we were in church every Sunday. Wednesday night and Sunday night church training. I go back when they call it training union. Okay? And somehow that osmotic, is that right, Chuck? Effect of just being there leaks into you. And so you're basing whether you're okay or not on tradition. I went to church every Sunday. Maybe I'm going to church every Sunday now. Maybe you're basing what you are on what you've heard. And folks, there's a lot of noise out there today. I would not listen to anybody unless they move from here to whatever they're saying. There's just so much noise. And so much of it comes under the guise of, religion. And they also based on their position on their heritage. This lineage that goes, they could trace it all the way back to Abraham. And they still can today, the practicing Jews. I want to say to you, all of these issues are shaky ground for establishing truth. All of these are shaky ground. Well, Baptists believe shaky ground. Well, I heard on the radio, shaky ground. Jesus, on the other hand, bases his position on first-person experience. Now, we have a lot of folks in the college climate here, and some of you have been there and that kind of thing. And research is a big deal, okay, in higher education. When you conduct research, the gold standard is original research. First-person account. You don't find that very often, but when you do, that's the cat's meow. You want to take that home. Okay? Jesus is doing just that. You guys are basing your position on tradition and what you've heard and heritage. I came from God, and now I am here. If you get into a debate, argument, whatever you want to call it in the future, make sure you've been with God before you take that position or stance. Well, what do you think about this, George? I don't know. Haven't been with God about this yet. I'll get back to you. Or, instead of pontificating about your whatever, okay, say, well, personally, I don't know, but the Word of God says. Do you know it well enough to do that? Are you bold enough to do that? I'm not going to do that. They'll think I'm a religious fanatic or something. How many times do we have to say it? Get in that crowd. Find that line and get in it. Okay? There's nothing. That's good. Can you see that this is not a fair fight between Jesus and the Jews? Second thing, the Jews resort to name-calling and innuendos. This debate, we're picking it up in the middle. It's not just starting with this, but we're picking it up. And so the Jews say to Jesus, "You have a demon. You have a demon. And you are a Samaritan." Now to us today, we think, okay, you know, oh, that's a big deal. And it's not true. I doubt if these guys had ever seen a demon. Okay? Now we do find in Scripture the presence of demons, the Gadarene demoniac, and the guy that was throwing himself in the fire and all. But I doubt that these, how did they know it was a demon? And what a thing to say. And then they said, "You're a Samaritan." And we think, okay, so I'm a Samaritan. No. The most despised people of the day were Samaritans. Remember when Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria," that land between Judea and Galilee? Remember that? "I must needs go through Samaria." He had that appointment with that Samaritan woman at the well. Oh, that was unthinkable. One, to go through there. There are roads around it. But two, to talk to a woman, a Samaritan woman, while you're there. And so what they're calling Jesus basically is a half-breed. "Your daddy's not even who you think it is." They were talking about Joseph. I mean, they're getting serious about this. Hey, when you get into debates or what, don't call names. It sounds as ridiculous as what these guys were doing to Jesus. Really. And who are we? They're judging Jesus by doing this. We know that judgment's not theirs. Jesus, though, remember, in a debate, an argument, whatever, both could be wrong, both are not right, one may be true. Jesus speaks truth to them. He has told them, "Your father is the devil." Now, that's not some emotional accusation. Folks, he was there when the devil was created. Lucifer. He watched him rebel in heaven, as we looked at a week or two ago, and fall from earth, taking a third of all the angels with him. Jesus was there. Jesus was in the garden when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned. He was there. And then when he became flesh and dwelt among us, he was in the wilderness with the big guy himself. Satan tempted him there in the wilderness. Jesus knows. And so he knew that these guys had not believed and abided. And therefore, their father was the devil. And their end would be the same as their father. Reserved seating in the lake of fire. The second death. The third thing we see here is that the Jews are seeking their glory, their rightful glory. They're descendants of Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. What they're anticipating is that they would be raised as a culture to a prominent position. See, the Romans are a big deal. The Romans are eating their lunch. And so now they want Messiah to come and beat up the Romans. And then we're the big deal that we think we are. Experientially, we're going to be the big deal. And they were seeking their rightful glory because of who they were. Now, we won't get into the specifics of this, but every community has a name. Okay? And I wouldn't go here in this crowd, but in Bolivar, Missouri, we have some names. Wheeler's not one of them. Jan's not one of them. Okay? But they're out there. Well, I'm a, and they call, mention their last name, you see. And that's a big deal, all right? Well, that's what these guys are doing. We're a big deal because of who we're related to. And they want the glory. Hang on to that one. If that one doesn't make it in your shopping cart, folks, go back and get it. Who is seeking the glory? They are seeking their rightful glory. And Jesus said, He sought to glorify my Father. Always investigate motive. In every situation, investigate motive. Why is this person or this group doing what they're doing? Number one on the list, I'll promise you, follow the money. Follow the money, okay? It may sound good, but you look, there's some money there somewhere. All right? Sorry. A close second would be status, significance, power. Those could be on the page. In a small percentage of the time, there are some things that would be good. But always investigate who is seeking to be glorified. And may I mention here, disciples, it can't be you. Because you're dead. You're dying. You're denying self. You're following. Okay? In seeking to honor themselves, the Jews, they dishonored God through dishonoring Jesus. That would be a good selection from the shelves as well. In seeking to honor themselves, they dishonored God through dishonoring Jesus. Be very, very careful what you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because when we dishonor Him, we dishonor His Father. In fact, Jesus is going to teach every sin can be forgiven of man except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That can't be forgiven. That's what Jesus said. That sin cannot be forgiven. Now, we can look at a lot of different applications to that, whatever. I think that what that is dishonoring Jesus. Because what does Jesus say the Holy Spirit's going to do when He comes over in John 16 and 17? He's going to speak of me, Jesus said. He's going to speak of me when He comes. That one that is like me is going to come. He will be in you. He will bring to your remembrance what I've said. When we dishonor Jesus, we reject Him. And the Holy Spirit who is drawing us, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, it may be other things, but it's that for sure. Be careful how you deal with, and not in a light fashion, the Son of God. Be careful. And may I offer you a strong suggestion? Don't use His name unless you're closing a prayer or you're giving Him praise or quoting Him. You hear me? The kind of the popular thing today among some crowds is to use His name as a swear word. And even use His deity, Jesus Christ. Folks, you dishonor His Father when you dishonor Him. They are one. What you do related to Jesus honors His Father. And in every situation, and this will help you a bunch, who's being glorified here? What's this about? Who's being glorified? You're on safe ground if you simply speak His Word. Because His Word was written by the Holy Spirit, inspired. It's without error. And you can't do any better than this. And people may disagree, but folks, you're speaking truth. So always ask who is glorified, and it will either be you or God. You're going to do so-and-so? Who's glorified? And let me get to the end of this, okay? The Scripture says, whatever you do. Now, what's on that list? Whatever. All right? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if you're a disciple, if you're here this morning and you're yet to believe, okay, this does not involve you. All right? It can if you believe, but at this time it doesn't. But if you have believed, if there is any doubt as to whether it glorifies God or not, don't. You say, well, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, move over and get comfortable then. Because I didn't make it up. He did. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That includes everything. So all those debates that are out there today, and you 20-somethings and teenagers and all those, you know, all this kind of stuff going on, back up. First of all, are you a disciple? If you are, whatever it is, does it glorify God? End of discussion. The next, the Jews, plural, did you see that? You English folks, Jamie here? Huh? I always get nervous when Jamie's here, okay? Jews, plural, more than one. Okay? The Jews are a group. They're many. And folks, do we ever gravitate toward that today? We're going to be in, you know? Even the way we talk, you know, sayings that are in. Try to use a saying that's not in. And watch what the crowd does. They mock, yeah, you know. Okay. You got to be in, man. You got to be in. See, that's out. You got to be in, man. That's 60 stuff, okay? That's 1960s, okay? Ancient history to some of you folks. But the Jews, so we gain strength from groups. We want to be what's popular. We want to go where everybody's going. We want to do what everybody's doing. Don't raise your hand, but some of you are in line for an iPhone 6, aren't you? Do I need to say more? It's going to take them, I think, 2 or 3 months to ever fill the orders that they already have. Why? The iPhone 6. Everybody's got one. And Apple couldn't be happier. Jesus is by himself. He's alone. Singular. Isolated. No one is speaking with him. If I hear another politician say, well, the American people, how do they know? Did you ever ask that question? They're both saying it. So the American people agree with both of them? Somehow that, one, they don't know, and two, I don't think they give a rip. They're just thinking, that's going to get my position out there where I want it. Keith's got to go on. We're getting into the, you know, stuff here, so we better go on, hadn't we, okay? Jesus is singular. Today, it is still a narrow road. And few there are that find it. If you feel that you're all alone in Christ Jesus, and that the crowd is moving against you, you are in the right place. You are in the right place. Jesus, there's some people, is anybody speaking up for Jesus here? No. The Jews, this massive, whatever big it is, they're out there, but Jesus is by himself, and nobody that's recorded here is stepping up for him. Wonder why. Peter, where are you? You're so quick to, you know, where are you? John, where are you? Nobody's speaking here except Jesus. If you are following Jesus, if you're his disciples, it will be a lonely place. You say, well, I don't like that. Hey, he never said, go ye therefore and like it. Did he? Where he went, where he's going as we read here, is a very lonely place. He was on the cross. The life of a disciple, one who follows Jesus, is going to be a lonely place. The next, and there's only one after this one. The Jews didn't understand death. That comes out in this debate, this argument. They only understood physical death. Abraham died. You see what Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Well, they hopped on that one quickly. What do you, Abraham died. I mean, that's as big as you can get. Okay? Abraham died. The prophets died. And you're saying that if we believe in your word or anybody believes yours, we'll not take... They're thinking physical death. They're very tangible. Jesus didn't talk about physical death. He knew Abraham died. He's talking about spiritual death. Now, that's one you need to at least read the directions on the back of the package. And, oh, I pray you'll put it in your cart. You are going to die. Once or twice. Once or twice. Everybody, if Jesus doesn't return, is going to die once. Those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life that we read about a few weeks ago will experience a second death. You don't want to die twice. That's what Jesus is talking about here, spiritual death, the second death. They said, well, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself out to be? Finally, they're asking the right question. And I pray that every one of you have asked or is asking that today. Who are you, Jesus? At least deal with Him in a rational way and see who He says He is. And in your investigation, like virtually everyone who's tried that, will find out He is who He said He is. Oh, there's been some great minds out there. Great minds. I mean, you know, the most brilliant people imaginable asked that question. And in doing so, they found the one they were asking about. I'm just mystified by the intellect of Ravi Zacharias. Raised in India. Tried to kill himself. And he began to contemplate who this Jesus is. And now he's one of the greatest evangelists of our time. Brilliant mind. Who's the guy that in England that went from atheism to, help me, Chuck, wrote all the stuff and what? There's one. He's not from England, but yes, he did the same thing. He tried to disprove, okay? And in doing so, came to know Christ. C.S. Lewis, that's who it is, all right? Try to read his books, okay? You smart people, come. I read those things, and I'm talking about a couple sentences, okay? And, you know, brilliant mind. Brilliant. Beyond an avowed atheist. And investigating Jesus, he believed. So I would invite you, ask you, to at least investigate who this one called Jesus is. They're finally asking the right questions. Who do you make yourself out to be? Finally, here in this debate or argument, whatever it is, anything in your cart yet? Have you found anything at all? Said of the Jews by Jesus, you say He is your God. Now, I want you to deal with that. Do you say He is your God? Can you make that testimony this morning? Is that your statement? He is my God. Be careful. Be careful. He is my God. Jesus said, you say He is your God, you have not known Him. All you have done to date has not been about God, it's been about you, your pride, your glory, your religion. If you know God, what is it based on? I love this statement that Jesus made. If I were to say that I do not know Him, if Jesus said, if I were to say that I do not know God, I would be a liar like you are. Now that'll twist you around a little bit. He's calling them liars, okay? And He's identifying the fact that He's not. Who's the father of lies? Yeah, okay. Now, back to the title, and we're closing here. If this debate was with you, okay, Jesus, and instead of the Jews, it's you. All right? You with me? If this debate is between Jesus and you, this one that we have just walked through and walked by all these points that they were making, would it sound the same? If this debate was between Jesus and you and these same points were brought, would it sound the same as it did here? Or would you be able to say, as we go back through these in reverse, He is my God through faith in Jesus Christ shed blood? They couldn't say that. They were trying to say He's my God. You said He's not your God. Could you say that He is my God through faith in Christ alone? Could you say, because of Jesus' atonement for my sins, I will not taste of the second death? Can you say that? And don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. And don't slide something in there on the side. Is that your only hope? Is that what you're hoping in? That you will not taste of that second death because of His atonement for your sins on the cross? Do you live on the narrow road? Often alone? Are you isolated because of who you are in Christ? And is the only one there? You and Him. Or are you seeking the crowds where all the fluff and all that is? And the attaboys and attagirls. Are you okay to be alone? If the only one there is the one in front of you and you're following Him? In all things, who do you seek to glorify? Do you get a little bit miffed when somebody leaves you out? You don't get invited to? You're not asked to stand at whatever it is. You read the paper, your name's not in it. You okay with that? Huh? Are you okay if nobody knows you? Getting down where it hurts now, don't we? In all things, do you seek to glorify God and not yourself? Do you fight and war and call others names and slander those you disagree with? Do you have your security and tradition and experience and heritage? If this debate, we're calling it, if you were in it and Jesus was in it, would you be responding as the Jews responded? Or by this last set of responses that we looked at? It's either or. It's either or. I pray this morning that in this situation that you are building your hope my hope is built on Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, I pray there are a lot of those life's grocery carts that we pushed up and down the aisles of your Word today that are full. Because if we cannot embrace the truth, at least we're going to take it and look at it seriously, in depth, asking you to shed the light on the words, to make them a light to us. Father, this is not an academic exercise. This is life. Eternal life, yes. And Jesus promised the abundant life now. And this is the only place it's found. So I pray this morning, Father, that every person in this room has dealt with these issues that we've looked at, and that they would find themselves lining up where Jesus is on each and every one of them. We love you. We thank you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name.